In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. It was back in the middle of October, getting ready to do the newsletter for November, that I choose things and send sermon titles and things like that. Ignore the sermon title. That has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. If I were going to write it now from this past week's work with Scripture, it would be simply the building blocks of faith. I want to recognize those today, and these are my building blocks. I had thought about supplying you with a bulletin insert that had some squares in it that were blank that you could fill in as your building blocks of faith, but I also realized that there were more announcements that you probably, you know, wouldn't finish them by the time the sermon was over anyway, so you didn't need another piece of paper. So think about that, though. That's not a bad exercise to do as we approach Thanksgiving. Because the building blocks of faith, if you will, are upon which our relationship with God is built. And it happens over our journey of a lifetime of discipleship, from before we even knew it, when we were baptized, and God's sign is put upon us, and God knows our name. Our scriptures are very clear in their instructions. Deuteronomy says, as the people have finished their punishment of wandering in the wilderness, and Moses doesn't make it, but Joshua will lead them into the promised land, it says, "It is God's intent and purpose and plan that you live in a land of plenty." It is all there for you. He doesn't say you don't have to work for it. He doesn't say, oh, it's just going to pop up out of nothing. But there, in terms of the creation, you shall go into a land flowing with milk and honey, you a place where you will be safe and warm and where all of your needs will be met. God's promise to God's people. And it's important that you remember that this is God's intent, and it is God who supplies such things. Jesus, in speaking the truth to those who were flocking to him, they had come and they had listened to his sermon, and they discovered, the disciples did, that there were so many and yet so little food, and people were going to get hungry, and we needed to pay attention to these things, that we get the miracle of the loaves and fishes. And the people are filled and satisfied, and they pick up how many baskets afterward, we are told. But then that night, the disciples leave, and the people there weren't paying any attention, for they were full. Their needs had been met. But then they woke up, and they realized that Jesus indeed was not there. But they took the opportunity of some boats from Tiberias to get into the boats and to go and to find Jesus in Capernaum. Lord, how did you get here? And Jesus confronts them, not being necessarily polite, but being judicious enough to say, you came because I fed you. I filled your stomachs, and it was for free. And so now you're coming to see, gee, I wonder what is next. And yet, I'm telling you, it's not about that, but it's about what God gives you in terms of the bread of heaven that you need to think about, in terms of the things that make you whole, in terms of your spirits and your emotions and who you are. You need to understand that. Jesus speaks the truth. You come because you were physically hungry, and I satisfied that. You can even morph that into thinking about church and other churches as you look with a little jealousy at larger numbers, or church that has all kinds of marvelous and wonderful and glittery programs, all of those kinds of things. And man, that's the kind of church I want to go to. I wonder if maybe we could do that. But that's just stuff that fills up time and provides entertainment and... In other words, God is saying to Bethel, be who you are. Know who you are. Know who your strengths are. Know your abundance as you live the Christian life and the opportunities you provide people to grow into who God wishes them to be. Jesus speaks the truth and tells us, indeed, to seek the bread of heaven that is here in our midst and to be it. Paul continues on with that as he speaks with the Corinthians, and he says, understand that intimacy is intertwined between your actions and in the presence of God. And what he's doing here, he's pleading with the Corinthians to take a love offering for the benefit of the Christians, the church in Jerusalem, because they were in hard times physically, but also in terms of persecution and other things. And he's making an appeal for them to out of their generosity. And what he is saying is that this social work, helping those in need, also helps you. It feeds you. It helps you understand the abundance that God has given to you and how you can give to others and be God's hands and God's feet. Now, you've got that one down pretty well, Bethel. But understand how important that is, because it produces an abundance of thanksgiving that come back to you as you are connected by those that you may help as they see God's work in your actions, and they pray for you. Building blocks of faith, all of the ways in which God is present with us. Well, the first one that I've got is right here, the gift of life. The gift of life that comes only from God, this sacred thing, this once a newborn, and the potential. Now, those who are parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, you understand this, that gift of life, that new life, and all the possibilities about that. And you can get overwhelmed by the frustrations and all those kinds of good things, even as a parent of adult children. I wrestle with that, and yet I see what has happened and the continuing abundance that's there. All of God's hopes and dreams given to me and given to you. That's not selfish. That's recognizing your uniqueness and who God makes you to be. The gift of life that God has given to you, I think, is a foundation of understanding that. The second one is this. The gift of the creation that feeds us, that inspires us, that wonder that is there, that greets our eyes, the smells, the aromas, all of those things, those wonders great and small to be enjoyed that are a part of God's marvelous creation. That thing that makes us go to places that we want to go and see, whether it's the Caribbean or Hawaii or the Shenandoah Valley. Whatever it is, those things that come and that feed us and inspire us, that make us say yes to God. The other scripture tells us that we are created in God's image. We're not just a part of the creation. We're not just another one of the animals. But there is a special place in the creation stories that speak about the uniqueness of humanity, of humankind, and if you will, of each of us. The potential to be Christ-like. Anybody reached that yet? Well, but maybe we're all working on it. Maybe that's what the journey of faith is about, to be created in God's image. To understand the difference of right and wrong, the ability to love and to cry and to wonder and to imagine things, the drive to seek justice, not just for ourselves, but to defend and to seek it for those who cannot seek it for themselves, and to be in this relationship together as God cheers us on. To be made in the image of God, wow, what a marvelous abundance. And then, of course, there are these things that we often end up taking for granted. Don't worry, it won't fall over. I've already tested it. Spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that come to us. I say to everyone who is recovering from surgery or in the hospital or been through a difficult time, I always say, remember that patience is a spiritual gift. And some miracles may take longer than others. That when you run out of patience and when you're frustrated, you're end of your rope, somehow it gets added in. And we think, oh, well, that's, you know, we've just accommodated and we've given up. No, it's a spiritual gift that God gives us to a place in which we need it. Love, the power of forgiveness, not just to be forgiven, but also to forgive others and to let go. Patience, healing, courage, mercy, the list goes on and on and on. And sometimes they come just who knows where, maybe out of the mystery of God. The spiritual gifts that come and fill us up. And I've got lots of others, but this is my last one because you folks will start walking out on me. But here we go. Self, maybe the one that's the rockiest of all, but the gift of self, to be a unique individual in terms of talents and learnings and morals and values, and to be unique and to be able to say and to mean it that God knows my name, that God is that close and that intimate, and this discovery that continues on this lifelong journey of faith. Now, you could be thankful for lots of things, but often they are been produced or they are the result of those tangible kinds of things that we remember, we pass on to our children because of the building blocks of faith and because of all of those relationships around us, because we do not live in isolation, but as people of faith, individually and corporately as congregation, we are thankful that this is all here that enriches our lives and that we are connected as we experiencing them all and learn about them all and continue to be about them as they are organic and developing in our lives with all of those that God gives us to care for and to care for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, happy Thanksgiving.